Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is George Lakoff, who's a professor of cognitive science and linguistics at the University of California at Berkeley, where he's taught since 1972. His best known linguistic research focuses on ideas about the centrality of the metaphor of human thinking, political behavior, and society. In recent years, he's applied his work to the realm of politics, exploring this in his new book, The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. And also joining us is the co-author of The Little Blue Book, Elizabeth Veeling, who's a political strategist and author working in the United States and Europe. She's done research in linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley, on how politics is understood both in America and Europe. Welcome to Background Briefing, George Lakoff and Elizabeth Veeling.
A pleasure to be here.
And let me start with you, George. I just was recently talking with Emma Tazzioni, and he mentioned that CNN did a focus group with independent voters or a group of voters, and they asked everybody in the room, what is the Republican message? What is their narrative in 2012? And everybody was able to repeat the Republican talking points verbatim. And then they were asked, what are the Democratic talking points and their narrative? And nobody could say a word because, I guess, I'll ask you, what is the Democratic narrative?
Well, Obama is trying to establish one, although it's tricky. The one he's tried to establish as of this past week is that this is about the economic direction of the country, and that the question is, do you go forward, that's their new slogan, or do you go back to the Bush era? And he's trying to pin the Bush era on Romney, giving a list of policies that define Romney, you know, and so on. Usually he gives a list of policies. And then he gives a list of his own five policies, which I'm sure no one will remember. So, you know, they involve education, science, building infrastructure, et cetera. So, you know, this is an old story with the Democrats. They don't know how to say clearly what they believe. They don't say how to say clearly what they're running on. They like giving long lists of policies that no one will remember, and they keep doing it.
Well, let me ask your co-author, Elizabeth Veeling, that since you've worked in both the United States and in Europe, how do you understand the imbalance in America where conservatives successfully frame arguments while liberals argue amongst themselves without agreeing on a narrative?
Well, what I see in the United States is that the conservatives have a very strong moral message about discipline, self-reliance, strictness. And it seems that the left wing over here actually does not have the same moral narrative, although they do seem to have those convictions. So you look at the healthcare debate and you look at how Obama tries to establish policies that are about empathy, about caring about each other, cooperation, solidarity, if you want. That type of narrative does not really exist in the public discourse over here right now. In Germany, that's a little different. For the left wing, there is a lot of understanding of the notions of solidarity, for example, which over here is almost a dirty word because it's connected to socialism. But this notion that we all take care of each other and that what makes our democracy great is that we care about each other as fellow citizens, that type of narrative, it seems to be a bit more established over in Germany.
But don't you think, and I mean, at least this is my opinion, and Elizabeth, that the conservatives in this country basically want to win, and they don't mind a little ideological inconsistency, or even if the facts get in the way. But the liberals and progressives seem to be it's more important for them to be righteous than effective.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I feel that in the conservative discourse, there's quite a bit of righteousness there about, you know, what is right, what is wrong, that there's some standards of behavior or economic success that apply to everybody. But at the same time, I think you're very right about the Democrats or the progressives, that they do tend to get up, to get caught up in facts. They tend to argue facts, and they tend to also not cooperate with each other in a very effective way when it comes to their communication. So what you see a lot is that environmental groups, women's rights groups, etc., do not really organize to work together on a more coherent narrative that I think is underlying democratic policy and progressive policy in the U.S., but it's just not overt.
And George Lakoff, the author, along with Elizabeth Feeling, of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. It seems there's an imbalance here, not just in terms of the conservatives being more effective at framing arguments, but there's an imbalance in emotional commitment and enthusiasm in this 2012 election. The conservatives are fired up and they're very effective. And we saw what happened in Wisconsin. They're extremely organized. Of course, they've got endless amounts of money backing them. But I think you can't discount their enthusiasm and their commitment. On the other side, feels like on the Democratic side, there's a lot of people that are still sort of, feeling like the teenage girl that got jilted at the prom, that the hero that they voted for didn't solve everything and they're going to sit this one out, or they're angry and annoyed, and they think that that both parties are owned by big money, which of course is true, and they're going to sit this one out and help elect corporatist who will basically close the deal for corporate America and the oligarchs, and will become USA Incorporated. I don't think I've ever seen an election in this country with so much at stake. But on the left, you've got disappointment and a kind of torpor, and on the right, you've got enthusiasm and commitment.
Well, first of all, things are even worse than you suggest. I hate to say that. The issues for conservatives, the main issue is the conservative worldview. The conservative worldview has corporatism as a part of it. It has a way of understanding the market as sort of a strict father who decides who gets rich and who is poor on the basis of who is more disciplined to make their own interest, to pursue their own interests. But besides that, all of the other issues that come out of a conservative moral worldview come out in this election, whether they're women's issues, whether they're issues having to do with war and foreign policy, anti-environmentalist issues and so on. All of those come out in this election, and you're going to see lots of it, anti-immigration issues, for example. And the highest value on the conservative side is extending and preserving conservatism itself. Conservatives want to see the country and the world run entirely in a conservative way. And one thing that requires is eliminating the whole idea of the public. One thing we know is that this country only works because we have public provision of things like roads and bridges and schools and other forms of infrastructure, clean air, clean water, sewers, electrical and transportation systems and so on. All of these things are required to have a decent life here, but also to have, a private enterprise and a decent private life. The private depends on the public. No one is saying that, and that is the opposite of what conservatives believe. Progressives believe that citizens care about each other and act on that care through public provisions. The conservatives believe that democracy is about pursuing your own self-interest without worrying about the interests or well-being of anybody else. And that means getting rid of public provisions, which of course would be just as much a disaster for private enterprise as anything else. But this is really what's at stake here, is all of that plus all of the social issues that are involved, all of the foreign policy issues, and all of the environmental issues. And that isn't being discussed. When Obama tries to frame this issue, this election, as being just about jobs and the economy, he's missing most of what the election is about. Now, he, of course, did come out on immigration and said, at least for young people, that he's not going to deport them. And that's an awareness that there are other issues about caring about people. And the same was true when he actually came out in favor of gay marriage. But, you know, just having a list of issues isn't going to do it.
So George Lakoff, again, co-author along with Elizabeth Feeling of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. Elizabeth Feeling, the latest Gallup poll suggests that President Obama has a tremendous deficit with white male American voters. And I'm wondering if there's also a racial component here. What could he do, and the Democrats do, to overcome what appears to be a pretty much a rejection by white males in this country?
Well, I think what is going on here is much much more general than that. Actually, I think when you look at Obama's election campaign from 4 years ago, he had a very clear moral message. He was talking about empathy, about patriotism as a mean of caring about each other, etc. And he really did, at least to part, abandon that message. And when you look, you know, earlier you said that people are disappointed by his policy and by what he does. I think mostly he's done a lot of really great policy. I think mostly people are also disappointed by the lack of moral vision that he used to provide quite clearly and strongly. And so, you know, if his polling is down with white males in America, you know, whether racism is part of that, I don't have an opinion on that, but I think what is the general problem, and which may be at play also with these polling results you get, is that Obama left fellow citizens behind linguistically in the way that he talks, in the way that he makes understandable where his policies come from a moral perspective, and how that moral perspective relates to who he is as a political leader and how he wants this country to be run. So I think a lot of the lack of support, or, you know, increasing lack of support, may be due to that.
Well, just in closing, George Lakoff, it seems to me that that this is a time when, after the 2008 crash, the plutocrats in this country ought to be ashamed of themselves, and instead they're sort of in your face, and they're running a one percenter as president of the United States, and they you can see what happened in Wisconsin, where the plutocrats will just spend any amount of money and get people to vote against their own interests, and that's what writ large will be how they win this election. Why can't Obama use the disparity in wealth, the unfairness, the deep unfairness of what's happened as a moral issue?
It's only partly the moral issue. It's really rare. You're right. But he's not taking it on as a moral issue, and that's the problem. The conservatives have a moral view, which is that democracy is about liberty to seek your self-interest, period. And that's what came out in Wisconsin. That view is repeated over and over and over. You know, the opposite view, that democracy is about citizens really caring about each other. If you ask, you know, do you care about your fellow citizens, most people in this country will probably say yeah, you know, but that's not being asked. You know, Obama is not saying that. Now, there is an issue of perceived masculinity. A lot of the white men in America don't perceive Obama as a strong masculine figure because he has not portrayed himself as that. He's portrayed himself as somebody who is, you know, not going to be strong, who's going to try to be who's defensive, constantly defensive, constantly using the terms of the other side.
Well, that's because they're constantly attacking him.
No, but that's not true. Point of our book, of The Little Blue Book, is very simple. The conservatives have framed every issue. Their language is out there. There's a way to respond to that without using their language and without just negating it. If you negate a frame, you activate the frame. Remember Nixon, "I am not a crook," makes you think of a crook.
Right. You know? Well, I think I highly recommend the book. It's an essential guide to this election, particularly if people don't want to be live in USA Incorporated for the next 4 years. I thank both of you for joining us here, George Lakoff and Elizabeth Feeling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with George Lakoff, Professor of Cognitive Science and Linguistics at the University of California at Berkeley, and Elizabeth Feeling, a political strategist and author working in the United States and Europe. They are co-authors of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how the Oregon Supreme Court have released the Boy Scouts files that the Mormon Church and the Boy Scouts of America have tried to keep, the perversion files that they've tried to keep secret.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from